Welcome to His great name, where we hold up and honor the great name of King Yeshua. This week, I would like to teach a practical lesson based on what we have learned over the last 2 weeks. Previously, we learned that there was a transfer that took place on Calvary between us and Yeshua, and that the story by Mark Twain, The Prince and the Pauper, can be viewed as an allegory of what Messiah did for us. Messiah changed places with us, and we with him. We gave him our pauper rags, and he gave us his royal robes. Messiah took all the judgment and punishment due us because of our sin of disobedience, and gave us all the goodness due him because of his obedience. We looked at 7 specific exchanges that took place on Calvary between the Prince of Peace and the paupers, us. Those exchanges were, 1, Yeshua took our punishment so we could be forgiven. Isaiah 53:5 says the chastisement needful to obtain our peace was laid upon him. 2, Yeshua took our sin and gave us his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Adonai made Yeshua, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 3, Yeshua took our death and gave us his life. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord. 4, Yeshua was made a curse so we could receive the blessing. Galatians 3:13 says, Mashiach has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. 5, Yeshua took our sickness and pain so we could be healed. Isaiah 53 says, surely our sicknesses he has borne, and our pains he has carried them away. The chastisement needful for our peace is laid upon him, and with his bruising we are healed. 6, Yeshua took our shame and gave us his honor. Isaiah 50:6 says, I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. Matthew 27:35, they divided up my garments among themselves by casting lots. This tells us that Yeshua was spit upon, stripped of his clothing, and put to open shame. But Isaiah 61:7 says, instead of shame, you will have a double portion of honor. 7, Yeshua was rejected so we could be accepted. Yeshua cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? The ultimate wound was rejection. Ephesians 1:6 says, Adonai has made us accepted in the Beloved. Now that we have seen that Yeshua has done these things for us, how do we appropriate them? The blood has been shed and paid the price for our rebellion, and these things are legally ours. But how do we move from legal to experiential? How do we apply Yeshua's blood to our lives? I would like to share some of the things I have learned over the years that have helped me. There are principles of the kingdom of Elohim that we use to overcome the kingdom of darkness in our lives and the lives of others. Previously, we talked about how Adam died spiritually immediately when he rebelled and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Spiritual death is separation from God, but it took 930 years for the spiritual death to kill Adam's physical body. The spiritual happened first and was then manifested in the physical. The people watching Yeshua suffering on the cross did not see what was taking place in the spiritual realm. It was not discerned with the physical senses, and they did not realize that he was paying the penalty for us. It was a wisdom hidden in God, spoken of by the prophets. After the resurrection, the salvation plan of God was revealed. Salvation does not just mean saved from our sins and now we get to go be with God eternally, to which we could happily say, Dainu, it would have been enough. But there is much more. Salvation includes all the evil consequences of rebellion that came on us because of Adam's sin. Consequences of death, sickness, poverty, rejection, all the negative things. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you'll never have problems. We live in this world, and we have an adversary who's a thief. And what does he want to steal? Anything that's rightfully ours. So, the question remains, how do we appropriate what is rightfully obtained for us by Messiah? Well, there are spiritual principles in Torah, the principles of the kingdom of Elohim. And that is what we use. We apply spiritual principles. What we're going to look at today is one of those principles, the words of our mouth. Scripture has much to say about the words we speak, and there are spiritual laws and principles involved whether we speak blessing or curse, positive or negative. Words have been compared to seeds, and when sown with the tongue, they take root and grow and produce a crop. Make no mistake, you will reap what you sow, good or bad. And I just tell you, there's been times when I've had to repent and ask forgiveness, and I had to pray for crop failure on some of them bad seeds that I'd sown. Spiritual laws concerning the words of our mouth are as real as Newton's law of gravity. Everybody knows that if you step out of a three-story building, you'll fall and get hurt because you broke the law of gravity. Or rather, the law of gravity broke you. I believe we don't break laws, God's laws, as much as God's laws break us. It's the same principle with our words. We don't actually see them, but we're subject to the effects of them. For good or for evil. We all have a tendency to think that the things of the senses, what we see, hear, feel, are the real things in life, but that's not true. Scripture says the things of the senses, the physical, do not endure and are not permanent. They are passing away. The real world is the unseen world around us. Now, I'm not talking about Area 53 stuff. I'm talking about biblical spiritual principles. The lady that led me to the Lord used to tell me, Sherry, the things of God are more real than the things in this world. And she is exactly right. I didn't know that she was quoting from 2 Corinthians 4:18, which says, so we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. We know our words are eternal because Messiah said in Matthew 12:36, that every idle word that men speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's eye-opening. But back to our original question. How do we appropriate what Messiah did? Well, how does the scripture say we appropriate salvation? Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Yeshua as Adonai, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We turn from our evil ways and confess with our mouths Yeshua is Adonai. Here we see that we speak words. Psalms 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the adversary. We are to say we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb from the hand of the evil one. We speak words. Say in this scripture means to declare out loud, to proclaim. We are to proclaim the kingdom of God, say it aloud for all to hear. And proclaim is related to confess, which literally means to say the same as. To say the same as what? To say the same as what the Torah says about the situation. We make our mouths, our words, agree with the word of Adonai. Now, I want to caution us here. This is not some formula that if we speak just the right words, we get what we say, like put a nickel in the candy machine and out pops a piece of candy. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is a spiritual principle that we are to speak the word of Adonai that was previously put into our hearts by study and meditation. And what the word of God says about the situation changes the situation in the physical that's around you. We are told to meditate on the Torah night and day, so it's in our hearts. When challenges come, and they will come because we live in this world, then we speak out of the abundance of our heart what was already put there by our study and meditation. When we speak what God has said with a believing heart full of the Torah, it is a very effective spiritual weapon. Messiah said in Luke 6:45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." The tongue is the servant of the heart. The tongue does not speak at random. It says what's in the heart. What is in the heart is advertised by the tongue. While the mind is the merit of a man, the tongue is a merit of the mind. The battleground is the mind. Thoughts awaken feelings, and feelings prompt words, and our words testify our inmost thoughts. That's why we are told in Philippians 4, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, think on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Proverbs 18:21 tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Words are extremely powerful. We can see an example of this in Numbers 13 and Numbers 14. This is the story of the 10 spies and Joshua and Caleb. The 10 spies brought back an evil report, and Joshua and Caleb brought back a good report. What made one evil and what made one good? The 10 spies declared to the people they could not defeat the inhabitants of the land. That was the evil report. Joshua and Caleb declared they could defeat them because God was with them. Joshua and Caleb, who brought the good report, said the same thing God said. What was the result? The 10 spies died in the plague, but Joshua and Caleb lived and entered the promised land 40 years later. Life and death was in the power of their tongues. The 10 spoke their feelings based on their senses, what they had seen. And Joshua and Caleb spoke in agreement to what God had said in spite of what they saw. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Joshua and Caleb were in agreement with God and walked into the promises of God and took the land. So, when we feel lower than a snake's belly and think we're worthless, Remember, the Torah says we are valuable. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "You were not redeemed with perishable things like gold or silver from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Mashiach." When we feel guilty about past sins we have asked forgiveness for, we remember the Torah says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. When we feel like the kid's song says, "Nobody loves me, everybody hates me," the Torah says we are accepted. Ephesians 1:6, "Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Yeshua also said in John 6:37, "And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." He will not reject. When we feel all alone, God said, and I'm going to read Hebrews 13:5 in the Amplified Version because it really brings out exactly what God is saying. When we feel like we're all alone, God has said, "I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly not." When you feel like everything is falling apart, and you feel like there is no hope for your situation, the Torah says we have access to God through Messiah's shed blood. So, according to Hebrews 4:16, with confidence we can go to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. When we feel physically sick and are being attacked in our health or in our emotions, the Torah says, "By His stripes you were healed." 1 Peter 2:24. Did you notice the word "feel" in all of those statements? Feel is of the senses. Feelings are unstable. Happy one day, unhappy the next. But the word of Adonai stands forever unwavering. Your feelings may be a fact, but they are not the truth. The Torah is truth. I'm going to say that again. Our feelings may be a fact, but they are not the truth. The Torah is truth. Knowing what the Torah teaches about the blood of Yeshua enables us to extend God's authority into any situation that HaSatan brings up to oppose the purposes of God. We do this by simply speaking what Adonai has said, in spite of what's going on around us. In the book of Revelation, there are two descriptions of end-time believers. Revelation 14 says, "Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua." Chapter 12, verse 11 says, "And they overcame him," HaSatan, "because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death." The key to complete trust in Adonai's commitment. These believers have faith in Yeshua, keep His commandments, totally committed to Him, and are willing to die for Him. He laid down His life for us. We lay down our life for Him. There are three spiritual weapons used to overcome the enemy listed in this verse. These are not all the spiritual weapons we have, but I think these are the most basic and the ones used the most. What are the three spiritual weapons listed here? Number one, the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Yeshua is a basis for everything we have and we receive from God. The blood of Yeshua is the focal point of our faith. We have been redeemed out of Hasatan's clutches by the blood of Yeshua. Number two, the Torah, the Word of God, the Word of Adonai. Scripture records that Yeshua used the Torah even when he was tempted. Number three, our personal testimony. Testifying, giving evidence as to what Adonai has done. In other words, we could say it this way. We overcome Hasatan when we testify personally to what the Torah of Adonai says as to what the blood of Yeshua does for us. Let me say that again. We overcome Hasatan when we testify personally to what the Torah of Adonai says as to what the blood of Yeshua does for us. Yeshua is the high priest of our confession. When we say out of our mouths what the Torah says, then Yeshua, our high priest, is releasing his authority and blessing over our confession, over the words of our mouth. Now, we've been studying what the blood of Yeshua does for us, and now we want to apply it as how the Torah shows us how to apply it. So we're going to declare personally as to what our studies have shown the blood of Yeshua does for us. We will personally declare the seven exchanges that took place. I'll lead you, and I'll say it first and then repeat after me. Yeshua took my punishment so I could be forgiven. Yeshua took my sin and gave me his righteousness. Yeshua took my death and gave me his life. Yeshua was made a curse so I could receive the blessing. Yeshua took my sicknesses and pains so I could be healed. Yeshua took my shame and gave me his honor. Yeshua was rejected so I can be accepted. Yeshua took all the judgment and punishment due me because of my sin of disobedience and gave me all the goodness due him because of his obedience. Wow, doesn't that just change the atmosphere around you? Hallelujah. Let's go through those again. Yeshua took my punishment so I could be forgiven. Yeshua took my sin and gave me his righteousness. Yeshua took my death and gave me his life. Yeshua was made a curse so I could receive the blessing. Yeshua took my sickness and pains so I could be healed. Yeshua took my shame and gave me his honor. Yeshua was rejected so I can be accepted. Messiah took all the judgment and punishment due me because of my sin of disobedience and gave me all the goodness due him because of his obedience. Wow, now the only response we can make to such a wonderful gift is to praise him for it and thank him for it. Let's think on these things of what Messiah has done for us and give him thanksgiving and praise as we go throughout our day. I know we are so grateful to him for not leaving us where we were, but coming and suffering so that we might be rescued from the domain of darkness and be brought into his kingdom of light. Well, thank you for listening. I hope this has been helpful. If you have any questions or comments, my email is 2, which is the number 2, to his great name at gmail.com. We'll continue next week. Shavua Tov, and remember, be blessed and not stressed. Shalom.